ESPN Daily is presented by Supercuts, the smarter, easier way to get a haircut. It's not just any haircut. It's Supercuts.
Mahomes moving to his right, trying to keep the play alive. Still moving. He fires it on the run. Caught! First down at the Green Bay 35-yard line. Tyreek Hill on a 13-yard reception. Leads the National Football League on third down receptions for first downs.
That was Patrick Mahomes taking a shot downfield to Tyreek Hill and icing a messy 13-7 win over the Packers, who wished that their star quarterback would have taken a shot with even greater consequences. So today, Alex Smith tells us what he learned from the anarchy of Week 9 and a Sunday that was one giant dose of reality for pretty much everyone. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, November 8th. This is ESPN Daily. 3, 2, 1. Alex Smith, it is 11:52 p.m. Eastern on a Sunday night that made me very glad that I don't actually gamble on this sport.
You and I both, man, upset Sunday. A lot of things that we were, you know, storylines that we felt really, really good about. Throw those away and kind of starting over at this point.
No, I don't know who's good. I don't know who's bad. It all seems interchangeable after a day like today. So let's just start with the most recent game, the game we just saw, because that was a case study in this very confusing dynamic, Alex, because one of the storylines we followed all season is how incredible Matthew Stafford has looked with the Los Angeles Rams. And the Tennessee Titans, who just lost Derrick Henry, they looked like their season was in total jeopardy. They go into Los Angeles and they blow him out. And I want to start with the Stafford end of things. What did you see from him in terms of what the Tennessee Titans defense was doing, especially in that second quarter, man?
Yeah, the Titans went in there and just dominated this game on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Offense and defensive lines absolutely just took over. Felt like they physically dominated this game. And kind of took everybody by surprise. You said it. I mean, I felt like Rams are one of the best teams in football with one of the MVP candidates in the league. Red hot. Titans are just lost their entire offense, if you listen to the media, and went in there and didn't make a difference. It didn't matter who was at running back tonight. That defensive line was so dominant. Basically created two turnovers by themselves. The first one was Matthew Stafford's Carson Wentz impersonation, spinning around in his own end zone, trying not to get sacked, throws a ball up for grabs. It gets picked down to the 1 yard line. They score the next play. And then the next drive, he throws pick six.
The very next pass is a pick six after that impersonation, which, by the way, no one should want to be doing an impersonation of at this point in 2021.
No, you know, pressure does a funny thing. And the Rams have relied so heavily on drop back pass, especially this year with Matthew, because he is so good at it. And they were unable to really get anything going from the pocket. Matthew was uncomfortable all night, got sacked several times. Five, I think, was the final total. And then after the debacle play from his end zone, I felt like as a quarterback, you know, you kind of go back to, well, maybe I'll get the ball out. We'll throw the ball underneath, get some completions. Very next play, he tries to throw ball underneath and Beyer jumps it and it's a house call. So once you get that going, I mean, I think it's hard as a quarterback, you know, to trust yourself, to let balls rip. I certainly felt like I saw that. He wasn't comfortable all night. They eventually tried to move the pocket a little bit, started booting him out, moving the launch point. Too little, too late. Titans really didn't even have to do much of anything on offense. You know, the Rams were dominant. I did like what I saw when they had to be, though. They were still really good situationally. I thought Tannehill had good control. When they got into, you know, goal line situations, when they got into short yardage situations, they still looked really, really creative. They still have a lot of firepower, a lot of weapons to utilize.
Well, let's talk about that, Alex. Well, let's talk about that because, you know, you mentioned it just a second ago. When Derrick Henry goes out, the assumption in everybody's minds, people who do the job of sports gas bagging, is, okay, wait a minute. This is the guy who is more essential to an offense than anyone else in the NFL, basically. And so going into this game, what did you expect to see? What did you actually observe from how the Titans are going to live their post-Derrick Henry lives?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was interested where that production was going to come from. And I didn't think it was going to come from one person. This wasn't going to be sign Adrian Peterson and he was going to, you know, fill Derrick Henry's shoes. But I just wanted to see, yeah, I mean, was Tannehill going to get incorporated in the run game? Jeremy McNichols is a really good player. The wideouts, I think they're going to have to spread that around. I think what we saw tonight, I wasn't anticipating that the D-line and the defense was going to take a load, from off the offense. And they did it. I mean, the Titans offense didn't have to do much, honestly. They barely had 200 yards offense. They weren't required to do anything. The defensive performance was that dominant against a red hot Rams offense. So, it says a lot about this team and their depth. And I think finding different ways to win ball games. I think we've seen this over the weeks now. They've gotten in shootouts and won them. Today was a defensive battle and they won that too. So, I think a good sign for them going forward, and a great day for the AFC. You step back and look, there were seven crossover games today, AFC, NFC, and the AFC finished 6-1, which going into today, I think if you'd have polled most people, they would have said the NFC is the better conference, especially on top. And Broncos took down the Cowboys and the Titans took down the Rams. We're kind of all reflecting on a lot of the assumptions we had going into today.
Well, there is something funny about that statistic, Alex, that you just gave me, because the teams that won today from the AFC weren't exactly the teams that we predicted them to be. And so I want to get to the rest of that and specifically what happened with Green Bay and Kansas City and the Aaron Rodgers of it all after a quick break.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
But Alex, we have to talk about the game that was by far the most anticipated NFL game, possibly of the whole season, because of the run-up to it. And Alex, as someone whose brain has not been eaten by the internet, but certainly, I presume, had to listen and think a lot about how Aaron Rodgers handled both his interview with Pat McAfee, where he compared himself to Martin Luther King Jr. and cited Joe Rogan and mentioned ivermectin and checked off all the boxes around cancel culture complaints and all of that. Like, how did you process that from afar? Just as a matter of curiosity on my end, because I was swimming eyeballs deep in this thing.
Yeah, Pablo, you'd be surprised to know, even though I am not on Twitter, that didn't save me from this soap opera. And I don't think it saved the rest of the country from this. The soap opera continues. I thought it was over. I thought the offseason drama was done. They were, rolling. Yeah. What, they won seven in a row or whatever. And then this. Lot to digest. It was a bit overwhelming. So much there. Obviously learning, I think like the rest of the country that, he wasn't, obviously wasn't vaxxed and then had COVID and then the repercussions of that. And that was one thing, I think, obviously even a little bit with, a little bit of the deceit as far as immunization versus vaccination and that whole thing. And then the repercussions of it, obviously today we saw that, Jordan Love getting his first start and playing, but the next day, was almost even more the interview and what poured out the stream of consciousness of Aaron. There was a lot there. I really wished he would have just apologized and we could have moved on. Instead, like you said, there was, the victim, the conspiracy theories came out. If I have to hear about another layman doing their own research on COVID, it just makes me want to. But I guess it was entertaining and it led us all to tune into the game today. But yeah, a lot there. Again, I thought he created a huge distraction for his team. it reminded me a bit of the first game of the season. You know, here's this really good football team. And we just couldn't explain what happened to them against the Saints. And then watching tonight was a little bit of the same. I mean, take Jordan Love out of this, the rest of the team, especially special teams, there were just things all over the place. They definitely looked out of whack.
Well, Alex, let's set this up for people a little bit, because underneath all of it, right? Underneath all of the culture war stuff, underneath all of the woke cancel culture grievance stuff, is the basic fact that he was not able to play in a game that might matter, because they are in the hunt for a one seed. And a one seed, Alex, as you know, that means more this season than any other, right? Like, you get the bye, you get the holy week off to start the postseason. And so there is that. And then there is the Jordan Love end of the equation. And this was a guy that we had all been waiting for. Anybody not named Aaron Rodgers had been waiting for his debut since April 2020, basically, when he was drafted in the first round of the draft, of the NFL draft. And so what did you see from Jordan Love in this game? Because it was an ugly game. And I'm curious how you as a quarterback saw his performance and his debut nationally.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it, from this year's perspective, this potentially sets the team back, because Aaron's not playing, he's not available. They're in a serious hunt in the NFC. But then from an organizational standpoint, my kind of first thought is that a little bit of an advantage here. They're going to get a sneak peek at Jordan Love, find out what they have there. They obviously have some decisions that they're going to have to make at the end of the season concerning Aaron and that position. So here's a chance to see what they have. And I think we were all really curious about that. A few things. One, I thought you couldn't pick a tougher place to go play your first start as far as an environment goes. Walking into Arrowhead, it is the prime time game on Sunday afternoon, and that crowd, I think they take a lot. They take a lot of pride in their home field advantage. So it's tough. It was tough, even though this Chiefs defense is statistically is not very good. They have been playing better. I was a little bit, I think, left wanting from this Packers offense and Jordan. Yeah. And I wasn't expecting, you know, any wow or anything like that. Really, I kind of wanted to see his command of the offense. I wanted to see him. He's not a rookie. He's a year and a half into this. He's been in the same system. He should know that there should be a level of command there that shouldn't be rookie-like, even though it is his first start. So there's a little bit of a yin and a yang to this. But that was really missing to me. I felt like he missed several layups and free throws out there. There were a lot of gimmies that he missed. He missed with his location. And those were the throws I was wanting him to make. And then the command of the huddle, there were some goofy things, the snap into his knees when he was walking up, like some delay of games. I was expecting him to have a little better command, but there were also glimpses of it. I thought he did, you know, handle himself at times there. He kept them in it.
Well, Alex, there is that run in the fourth quarter, right, where he goes 7-7 to start, and it looks like, wait a minute, this is only at this point a 13-0 game, and then he throws that pick in the end zone.
Yeah, forces it, and I felt like that was all night. He was kind of trying to force the ball to Devontae Adams, and rightfully so. He's obviously one of the best receivers in the game, but I think Devontae Adams had 14 targets or something and only walked away with 6 catches. You know, Devontae only was able to practice this Friday because he was on COVID, you know, list from last week. So I think there was, you could really tell, obviously, that they weren't on the same page, just off all day long. And they paid the consequences. I couldn't help but walking away from this game. The defense played really well. I think held the Chiefs to a season low as far as yards. And I thought if there was one really encouraging thing from this, it was that, you know, obviously, if and when Aaron comes back, if this defense keeps playing that way, they could really be a force in the NFC. But yeah, just not enough. Jordan, it just was kind of off and expecting a little more. He did come down and I drive and throw the touchdown pass.
Quick count, snap to Love. Lofts left side. Got a man wide open. Lazard split the defender to the end zone. Touchdown! 20-yard touchdown pass play on fourth down by Jordan Love.
But obviously a little too late. But again, I do look back first start, even though he is a year and a half there, there are some of that nerves you're going to have there. I think regardless of age. So I think only time will tell. I don't think he answered any questions for the organization. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And so the defense that he was facing, you alluded to it, right? Like, in some sense, this was supposed to be, despite the hostile atmosphere of Arrowhead, this was supposed to be something that he could have handled. And yet, what we saw from the Chiefs, I mean, Alex, I have no idea. I say this a lot lately, watching NFL games. I have no idea what I'm really seeing.
Yeah.
But with the Kansas City Chiefs tonight, I mean, you look at the standing suddenly, wait a minute, they're 5-4 in a division that seems to all be clustered right around there. I mean, how are you feeling right now if you're in the Chiefs locker room after a game like that?
Yeah, it probably was their best defensive performance of the year. I do think they've played well these last couple weeks. And that's another note. I think as a rookie quarterback, there's a few defensive coordinators you wouldn't want to face, and Steve Spagnuolo is one of them. I mean, he was just dialing up blitz after blitz today, and they were coming from anywhere and everywhere, and he didn't take his foot off the gas. So that was a tough test for him. But I think on that note, yeah, that they're getting some confidence. They played good last week too. And I think that's important for them. I think to do anything they wanted to do, that defense had to improve. They've improved creating turnovers, and obviously I think just being a little more stout in all areas. But offensively, again, this was the worst offensive performance we've seen this year from the Chiefs.
Well, what happened here?
Man.
Because Mahomes, despite having that moment at the end where it's like, okay, wait a minute, he can still make that throw to Tyreek Hill and they have the chemistry and all that, everything else was miserable, man.
Yeah, and I think finally they were turnover free, but just forcing stuff down the field just really seemed off. This was the lowest yards per attempt I think Patrick's had in his entire career. He couldn't run the ball either. I mean, so I just felt like there was no identity. You know, they've relied so much on the big plays down the field. And again, they took their shots today, kept taking them down the field and coming up empty. They didn't hit a single one. I really think they need to, you know, I'm hopeful through these struggles that they can find their way. They have so much talent. Again, there were so many numerous times tonight where they show a replay of Kelce underneath and he'd be open, you know, expecting the football. And yet the ball was going down the field and missing. So I think something there to learn from. It's a lot easier to learn from after a win than a loss, that's for sure. But I think for all of us that continue to hope, myself included, that, you know, that this will be the week that the Chiefs offense wakes up, that you know, that bear of an offense is going to wake up. That bear's still sleeping. So I don't know. I don't know if and when that'll happen.
Yeah, no, Alex, it feels like the defense of the last several weeks now and the offense of the weeks before that, if those occurred at the same time, like, there is the team that everyone was afraid of entering this season. But the schizophrenia of this team's identity, have you seen something like this? Is this familiar to you, the way a team can be so night and day on two sides of the ball, depending on what week it is?
You know, no, I think for me, what really kind of hits me is that it's just hard to be that good, that consistent for that long. Like, I mean, they've been dominant for 3 years, really, on offense. And it wasn't really until the Super Bowl. That was kind of the first sign that we saw something. And there's been a little bit of a hangover from that. I think teams are really kind of using that equation. There's a ton of cover too. Daring them to throw it underneath, daring them to run the football. And we haven't seen them kind of counter that yet. But yeah, I mean, for 3 years, they were doing it. And I think we just expect them to keep rolling. Obviously, they've hit a little bit of a rough patch. But I think when you really do pull back and think about it, that's only natural. I mean, the NFL is so, so competitive. There's so much parity from week to week. And, you know, obviously here a little bit, you know, through the halfway mark that they have struggled a little bit, I think isn't that surprising. The question is just how long is this going to keep going, you know? And because again, I think you said it, if they do wake up, that not only that division, but the entire conference is still up for grabs. Nobody on the AFC, I think, looks crazy dominant at this point.
All right, Alex, there were many more shockers around the league today, and I want to get into those with you right after this break.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, Alex, what we saw in Dallas with the Denver Broncos beating them 30-16. I mean, this was a score, Alex, that was more generous to the Cowboys than reality actually was, because this was a shutout deep into the fourth quarter. This is an offense that we have praised, that the world has praised all season. Here comes Dak Prescott, you know, a 10-point favorite entering this game, putting up some of his worst numbers of his whole career. So what did Denver do to shut down Dak and the Cowboys?
Yeah, I mean, maybe so far through the season, this is I think maybe the biggest, most dominant win we've seen, I think, in the whole NFL, maybe. I mean, for the Denver Broncos to trade away their best player this week, to go on the road to Dallas, Dak Prescott's back, excuse me, he's facing the number one offense in the NFL. This offense is almost putting up 500 yards a game, and they're I think they're averaging 40 points at home. And to walk in there and completely shut down this offense. And then on the flip side, run for almost 200 yards. I mean, they dominated the time of possession. I think it was 41 minutes to 19. This was an absolute runaway train. I mean, it wasn't close. Like you said, the score is deceiving. I mean, it really should have been 30-0.
Yes.
But yeah, hats off to Denver. I mean, I think this is what, you know, when Vic Fangio went there, who is one of the best defensive minds in football. You know, I was with him a couple of years in San Francisco. I mean, he is so good at taking away what you do best. And he even said it kind of after the game a little bit, I think, that he had a little different plan going into this game and how to attack him. But, you know, they won the turnover battle. Teddy Bridgewater, I think, playing really, really good football back there. I mean, he threw the one great touchdown pass down the side.
Bridgewater, deep drop, sets, home run ball, left side. He wants Patrick. Patrick is there, makes the catch, and Denver with another touchdown.
Going at Trevon Diggs, but was in command the entire time. They ran the football really, really well. And then Dallas couldn't get anything going. I think at one point they were like 0-7 or something, or 1-7 on third down, 0-4 on fourth down. Missed passes, drops, contested throws. Dak never looked totally comfortable back there. They never really got the run game going. This was just shocking.
No, after the game, Dak just summed it up by saying, quote, "This feeling sucks."
Yeah, I think everybody just has to be accountable for what just happened. You win as a team and you lose as a team. This is something that we learned from, and this feeling sucks, and make sure that we don't feel this again.
And I mean, it must suck to be the guy leading the NFL in completion percentage, the guy at the helm of the most explosive offense that we've seen all year, and then suddenly just gets snuffed out like this. And you mentioned Vic Fangio. After the game, Fangio said that he thought that teams maybe just haven't played the Cowboys the right way. Is there a blueprint here, Alex, that like will pose a problem for the Cowboys the rest of the way here?
I don't know. I think if the blueprint is, hey, go run for 200 yards versus some and shut down the run and win the turnover battle 3-0, like, sure, that's a formula to win every week. You know, like, there's your blueprint. I'm not sure how you go do it. I still think this is an elite offense. I think this is a bit of a hiccup. They do. This is a good unit. The Denver Broncos defense is a top tier defense in the NFL. I think on the flip side of that coin, Dallas was off. Dak and these receivers missed a bunch of opportunities here and there. There were drops off the fingertips, overthrows.
So many drops.
They were kind of all over the place. So I don't see that. I just thought it was one of those weeks, one of those days for these guys, and they're going to go. I think if anything, we really thought this Dallas defense, I think, had stepped up and was playing at a crazy high level. But to give up 200 yards rushing at home does say a lot. I think that's something they're going to have to answer. The Dallas offense was on the sideline most of the game. They had a bunch of three and outs, and they didn't get back out on the field. Denver possessed the football all day, ran the football really, really well, and it was just kind of one of those matchups today, and they didn't play well. I think they're going to be fine going forward.
Yeah, so you mentioned, of course, that the Broncos trade away Von Miller. They trade away their biggest name player. They are sellers at the deadline. They chose, though, not to trade away Teddy Bridgewater. And that was a thing that seemed strange right up until I watched this game. And now I'm like, wait a minute, okay. So here we have the 5-4 Broncos, Alex. And they're in the mix, too. What do you think that locker room is like? Because this was a team that ostensibly was asking to be written off, and now here they are suddenly in the thick of things.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we looked at this team, you know, they started off 3-0, but they didn't beat anybody very good. Then they lost 4 in a row, and now, you know, here back-to-back weeks, this is a big win, huge win, to go into Dallas and get this win and convincingly dominate. I think it's something that they're going to really take with them. And I do think it solidifies their formula more so, I think, going forward, how they're going to play. I mean, I think this is what they want to be. I think this is what they've envisioned themselves being, dominant on defense, you know, good on that side of the ball, and I think on offense. And that goes to Teddy. I mean, he's what they were looking for. He was so good with the football today, in command, distributing, running the offense. Didn't turn the ball over, and I think that's something hopefully we'll see. Because again, yeah, they're right in the thick of that division, and if they get hot and keep getting better, yeah, who knows?
Well, who knows? Because the team that we, I think, consensus had agreed was the best team in the AFC heading into this day was Buffalo. Yep. Like the Bills, man, that was the cream of the AFC, and so yep. We traveled to Florida now. And we're there because the Bills are playing the Jaguars. And the Jaguars, of course, are double-digit underdogs. And they upset Buffalo 9-6. What did you see in this game? What went so wrong for the Bills?
Yeah, this one, I mean, was hard to wrap my head around there for a little while, because there are a lot of people that think they have the Bills maybe the best team in the NFL. I mean, this sure. is a team they have the number one defense in the NFL. And I think their offense going into this game was like fourth or fifth. You know, you put those two together, there was not another team that kind of boasts two top five units. And again, we talked about, you know, AFC is wide open and they look kind of a class above everybody. You know, got an MVP candidate at quarterback that's playing really well. And then they go and get beat by Jacksonville. And you start digging a little deeper and you start realizing I'm not sure that Buffalo has what you would call a big win. I'm not sure who you would say they. I mean, they've beaten the Dolphins twice. They crushed the Texans. They beat the Washington football team. Their biggest win right now is beating the Chiefs, you know, who we've yep. talked about week after week is obviously kind of asleep. And so I'm not sure when you look at the numbers, I think they're definitely inflated looking back. I do think this Buffalo defense is obviously extremely talented, but offensively, man, they couldn't get anything going today. I mean, 6-9, this was an ugly game. There was absolutely no offense on either side of the ball. Hard to watch. And Jacksonville ended up winning the turnover battle. Josh Allen, the Bills, Josh Allen, that is, made you know, one too many mistakes and allowed Jacksonville, obviously, to kick that winning field goal and get this win. But I do wonder that it did make me start thinking about Buffalo and that they've really run over some bad football teams, but they haven't beat anybody, you know, very good. And so, I again, throws the AFC into kind of chaos and free fall.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at the schedule now, man. You're right. I mean, this is kind of jarring in retrospect, actually. You see, right, they lose to the Steelers, they yep. blow out the Texans, they lose to the Titans, and there's not... Yeah, the Dolphins, really, that's the question. How impressed are you by the Dolphins? I don't think we are very impressed by the Dolphins. The guy I am impressed by, though, Alex Smith, the guy I am impressed by is the other Josh Allen. I believe you played against another Alex Smith, but I don't think he was a defensive player, right?
No, he played offense. He's a tight end.
So what this Josh Allen, the MVP candidate, went through going up against the linebacker Josh Allen, who sacked him, who picked him, who recovered a fumble that he had lost.
A fumble. Josh dropped it. Let's see who's got it. He dropped the ball. Looks like the Jaguars are celebrating. No signal yet. They do. It is Jacksonville football. Josh Allen nailed Josh Allen. Josh Allen, the linebacker for Jacksonville. stripped them and came up with a foot.
I mean, what was, beyond having a guy with the same name who played the game of his life, what was the formula here to really solve Josh Allen, the quarterback?
Yeah, this was a fun one. You know, they're both first round picks. Josh Allen, the defender, is a really good player in his own right. I think he would be much more of a household name if he wasn't in Jacksonville for his short career thus far. But yeah, he put on a show today. I mean, he led the team in tackles, a couple tackles for loss, sack, interception, fumble recovery. And again, I think in a game like this where there was no offense, these turnovers made the difference. I think huge, huge question marks for the Bills going forward here, especially on offense. This is 2 weeks in a row. You know, they played the Dolphins last week, and that game was really close. And the Bills offense for three quarters didn't do much in that game as well. You know, they made a couple plays in the fourth to kind of finally seal it off, but they haven't looked like the Bills were accustomed to seeing these last couple weeks. So we'll see. And I think they have the Jets this next week. So I'm not sure.
Well, this is supposed to be a month of buys, basically. And now everything is on the line, it feels like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the crazy thing is we were talking about them being the best team in the AFC. I'm not sure they're the best team in their division. You know, the Pats keep winning. They still have two games with the Pats late in the year. I think that could get really interesting when we all kind of thought this was a lock at this point.
No, Belichick, I mean, legendarily, right, is basically the guy who kind of takes the first month of the season off. And now he's awoken in November here with his defense humming and all of that.
Yeah.
Somehow, I mean, look, Alex, let's just look at the AFC now. Let's zoom out, because what is the best team in the conference to you? Because there are a bunch of games here. I'm thinking of the Browns blowing out the Bengals. I'm thinking of the Patriots, as you just mentioned. The Ravens eking one out on a last-second Justin Tucker field goal again.
Yep.
The Raiders losing to the Giants. What stuck out to you? How do you see the top of this conference now, given all of that?
That's tough. I mean, I think if I had to pick one team that's really battle-tested and proven, to me, it's the Ravens. Everything they've been through, and I think they're a bit of a juggernaut on the offensive side of the ball with what they have going on right now, the way Lamar's playing, the way the rest of that offense is playing. But you look at, I mean, the AFC North, there's not a bad team in the AFC North. I mean, that division is deep. They are all really good. Cleveland woke up today and looked like the team we all expected to see. You look at the AFC West, it's loaded too now. I mean, but nobody clearly running away with that one either. But no, I don't think there is a dominant team in the AFC right now. I think we've seen glimpses when these teams can turn it on. But if I had to pick one, I really like the Ravens. I like what Lamar's doing on offense. I think we've seen so much growth out of them on that side of the ball. They're a team that I pick your poison. You can't shut them down. I think the way he's progressed, the way that passing game has progressed, they look really, really good.
It seems like the only thing we know for sure, Alex, is that if you go on the Manning cast, if you go on the version of Monday Night Football that the Mannings are doing, you're going to lose your next game. I mean, this stat, I just want to bring this up here. It's staggering, right? So every NFL player who has appeared, they're collectively 0-6 in their next game. Russell Wilson, Travis Kelce, Rob Gronkowski, Matthew Stafford, Tom Brady, Josh Allen, just a cavalcade of L's. Do you believe in this curse, Alex? And can this curse be broken?
Oh, I absolutely believe in this curse, Pablo. I mean, you just said it right there. How can you not? How can you not believe in it? Don't underestimate the power of the Mannings. I mean, I guess I'm not going on the show. Lamar, are you listening? Don't go on the show, bro. Stay away. I mean, yeah, forget the Sports Illustrated cover and the EA, you know, Madden
no,
cover.
No, the Madden jinx.
There it is.
No.
It's the new one. It's the Manning.
Yeah, no, I hesitate to create a feud with Peyton and Eli Manning, but that's what we're doing right now, Alex Smith. You're right. No, Lamar Jackson, if you're listening to ESPN Daily, just know we have your best interests at heart. Do not go on that show.
That's right.
Alex Smith, thank you for sharing your wisdom and also your truth.
Pablo, thanks as always, man.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.